Today's date is February the 10th, 2024. The message today is the new covenant. The new covenant. Holy Scriptures is Hebrews the 8th chapter, 7 through the 13th verse, 1 Corinthians 12th chapter, 28th verse, Isaiah 8th chapter, 19th verse. Giving, Proverbs the 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse, Testimony 12th chapter, excuse me, Revelation 12th chapter, and the 11th verse. I will be pausing for just a second just to speak to everyone. So I would like to start here with testimony. I want to start here with testimony because it's very important for us to get confirmation on behalf of the faith. The teaching is holiness. By the power of biblical authority for the chosen of Jesus Christ. On behalf of the living word of Jesus Christ for prophecy. Many don't understand prophecy, but that's where we are. That's where we are located as far as our faith. So I want to be examining the word of God on behalf of the new covenant, because there was a covenant, a first covenant. That covenant is no longer effective for the new church, that is the body of Jesus Christ. So I would like to give testimony first. I want to talk about an experience I had on behalf of my faith. I was located at that time in Los Angeles, California, because I had had an encounter with a witch, which at that time I had not, there was no development there for my protection on behalf of that attack. So there was a witch from another nation, and that witch was over here in America working on the religion. So this particular spirit of corruption and deception had posed as a bishop, and it was a female gender. So, being that I was new in the faith and I was not equipped for the fight, this person was deceiving. So, I moved from Atlanta to San Diego, California. So, as a result of that, I did get some opportunities for ministry. So I began to work at the YWCA, and I was teaching there. So I got that opportunity, so I did teach there about 10 months. So after that level of work, I needed more help. So the Lord, I was laying prostrate on my face for prayer because I believe in intercession. So I was supplicating. I was putting up my supplication, meaning the word supplication is defined as putting up a request before Jesus Christ. So I was seeking the Lord. It was late in over in the morning. I was laying on my face seeking the Lord because I had found a ministry that was very great, but the Lord had another ministry in mind for me. So I didn't go to the first ministry that I was thinking about going to because the Lord changed that plan. So the Lord gave me a word to go on a fast. So I went on the fast. The Lord gave me a word to fast as long as and as much as I possibly could. So I did go on a fast, which was for 4 days out of the week until the Lord sent forth his anointing to deliver me. So I was on the fast, so then the Lord gave me another word to go to a particular ministry, a great ministry, a very large church. So I went to, I did make my way to go to this particular ministry. The name of that ministry was West Angeles Church of God in Christ. So I went there and I immediately connected and joined because the doors was open for new members. So I went and I joined. So afterwards that I joined, the witch was still on the move. So what the witch did was she had another person connected to her. So what they did, they decided to work against me and against the Lord on behalf of an adversarial decision that she had. So I stayed with that ministry. I stayed I was continuously going over to Los Angeles, to West Angeles Church of God in Christ for about 10 months. However, I was still fasting and praying. So, as I fasted and prayed before the Lord entreated the pastor, the apostle, he's an apostle, he entreated him with a word of intercession on behalf of a fight that was in place on behalf of a witch that had decided to send forth the beasts after me to destroy me and to make me fall and to change everything about me. So how can that happen? That can happen when you need more help. If you're not fully developed as I am now, I am fully developed in the Lord. The Lord completed me over here in Atlanta, Georgia. So I stayed in the church with the apostle. So as a result of that, there was a evil encounter with this witch. There was an episode developing on behalf of a war on behalf of me. So I started to get up and leave again, but I didn't. I continued to stay and to be a part of that ministry. So as I did, the witch sent forth, transferred an evil spirit, which was the python, my way. So here the pastor, the apostle, he was anointed by Jesus Christ. Since he was anointed, when the witch sent forth the beast to destroy me, the pastor or the apostle, his office was actually the apostle, which is the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophet. So he had five ministries. He had a fivefold ministry, so he was very great in the Lord, very well developed. So as the witch sent forth the beast my way, I started to get up and leave again. But I didn't have to because the Lord had answered my requests for help. So as the devil began to transport the evil spirit on behalf of the witch's request, the apostle, he allowed the Lord to work with him to destroy that beast. There was another episode that came forth. The Lord gave me another word. He wanted me to make arrangements for his wedding. He wanted me married. So the Lord had me moving real fast and real quick. So I did answer that command. So when we are in ministry, we are under command to obey prophecy. So the Lord gave me a prophecy to arrange a wedding. So I went about to arrange. The Lord told me he wanted the wedding in pure colors. So I went about as the Lord spoke to my heart, and I arranged the wedding. So I went to David's bridal to choose a dress. So I chose a dress, and I chose a white dress. and I chose a white face piece. So then I made arrangements. I went about to choose all of the attire for the wedding. So as I chose all of the attire, because I wanted 24 brides made and printed 24 brides groom. So I went about to do all of that work as the Lord commanded me to. So I went about to choose all the dresses and all of the male gender outfits. I wanted everything like the Lord wanted. He wanted everything in pure colors, which was all white. So what I had in mind to do, which was in the plan for the wedding, was white roses draping around the altar, and white orchids in the middle side, and white roses outside of the orchids. Then I wanted then I went about to plan to run some white silk down the middle aisle. So I went about also to plan to purchase the pastor's outfit. I wanted him to have a three-piece suit with a Rolex watch, and I wanted to get him some diamond earrings, but he was not a homosexual. He's a man, but I wanted to get him a set so he could put one of them in his ears. So then after I did that, then I went about to choose his wife a white outfit, but I couldn't find anything, so I was going to have her a white dress made, and I wanted to have on some white shoes. So he watched all of this. He watched me make all this preparation. He was listening and watching. So as I was completing everything, I went about to set up the reception. I wanted the reception to be at the Beverly Hilton. So I called the event management at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, and I made arrangements to set up the reception. So the Lord gave me understanding that I had completed all the plans. So as I went about to complete those plans, the apostle decided that he didn't want the wedding there for no reason. He had no reason. I did nothing wrong, but he decided that he did not want the wedding. So he went about to get very violent. So what he had to do, he had to go back on the Lord. He had to backslide. So he backslid. As he backslid on the Lord, what he did, he came after me. So he wanted to do something. He decided he would not serve the Lord anymore. And I've never seen anything like that. I've never heard of anything, but this is what he did. And so what he did, after that, he decided that he did not want the wedding. He did not let the wedding take place over there in the house. So he went about to come after me to destroy me. So what he did, he came after me in the spirit of my mind. He came after me in the spirit of the flesh. And he, when he got to me in the spirit of the flesh, he had something called weaponry in his hand. So what he did, he went about to the, to amputate my head off me. But the Lord gave me the sword and had me to pierce the sword in his head. So, after with that, I called the authorities and I let the authorities know that he was negligent and he was no longer in ministry. I called the FBI on him and I did expose him on behalf of his crimes because I did nothing to him, none whatsoever, for him to come after me to destroy me, but he backslid to stop the wedding. And the Lord gave me the victory over that episode. So he was not able to destroy me with his weaponry. So what the Lord did, what Jesus did, was destroyed him on behalf of that attack. So here I want to run over here to the 8th chapter. I want to talk about, I want to teach about the new covenant. Those of us who are called of Christ and we answer, we have great promise. So I was going to start here. Hebrews 8 chapter 7 through the 13th verse. But I'm going to start here. I'm going to start here, Hebrews the 8th chapter, and the first verse. Now of the things which we have spoken, this is the psalm, meaning that this is the completion. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So this is where Jesus Christ is located. He is on the throne of the majesty in the heavens. Second verse, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So therefore, the body of Jesus Christ, we the body of Jesus Christ, we the body of Jesus Christ have power when we obey prophecy. So when I say holiness, I'm speaking on behalf of all four gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which was produced by Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father had commanded him to do. So prophecy is a command. Prophecy is not a demand. Prophecy is a command. So when we receive a word from Christ, we are under obligation to perform that word. And when we don't, then we must be held accountable for not performing the work that was commanded of us to perform. So Jesus Christ, throughout all four gospels, and not only all four gospels, but also there is 23 books of the apostolic works that sits right beside all four gospels, which was produced by Jesus Christ as our Heavenly Father commanded him to do the work. So I'm going to read here the seventh verse. So I'm going to skip down to the seventh verse. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So the first covenant was a fault. The church departed from the first covenant. But the Bible is saying here, if that first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. So let's go and get a little deeper on behalf of the first covenant. The first covenant is under the Pentateuch. That is the prophetic work that Moses produced. That's the first covenant. The church did start out to perform the commands which was given to Moses. The church did follow Moses and all of his commands. All of his commands. So then the church was able to live at that level. So now we have a promise of a new covenant. So I'm going to run over here. So Jeremiah was one of the prophets that confirmed a word on behalf of the new covenant. So the first covenant, Israel break. So they broke the first covenant, meaning they departed. They were no longer performing any of the prophecies that the prophets were commanding of them. So let's run over here to Jeremiah 31 and 31. Jeremiah and all the other prophets, all the old prophets also honored the work of holiness. Why do I say that? Because Moses was one of the first prophets that received a word from our Heavenly Father that there would come a new prophet. So we must understand prophecy and the work of prophecy and how we can develop in prophecy. Those of us who are called of Christ or those of us who just believe in the Word of God, we have great privilege in the Word of God on behalf of the work of holiness by Jesus Christ. The Bible declares, if any man believe, that man shall be saved. Now that repentance process does not stop at one level. So we must have a place and a plan in our heart to repent. Why? Because the devil is on the earth. It's three of them. It's the devil, Lucifer, and Satan. All three of these individuals are persons, but they are very powerful. Not as powerful as Christ. None as powerful as Christ. No one is powerful as Christ, because Christ sits at the right hand of majesty, which is our Heavenly Father. It's three of them. Our Heavenly Father is the one that established the word, called for the word. He's the one that spoke the word. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the one that was chosen to produce the life of holiness. The third person is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the one who is the comforter. He's the comforter and the counselor and the counselor. We need the counselor to be of Christ. So here, Jeremiah, let's run over here to Jeremiah 31 and 31. So the prophets are very powerful. The prophets were the one that was sent forth to stand before the people to correct them and to direct them in the right path and to establish government. Joshua was one of the governors over in the old prophets. So we still honor their work because the work is still good because it's prophecy. But we live now under prophecy in the gospel. So Jeremiah, he honored the work of Christ. So that was a word that came forth from the mouth of Jeremiah on behalf of part of the characteristics for the body of Jesus Christ. So the word of God came forth for Israel first, then those of us who our Heavenly Father chose afterwards. So now the word of God is covering all the territory, faith territory, for all whom will believe. So at one time under Moses, under Moses' word, Israel was the only one getting a word from the mouth of the prophet. However, Moses was one of the first prophets who established government. After that, Israel was transported by the work of Moses from under the government, the Pharisees. Excuse me, I'm sorry, this is the wrong word. The Pharaoh. So Israel at one time was one of the nations that was mainly getting the word. Now, those of us whom the Lord have chosen and set in place in his judgment for ministry, we now have authority to receive a word of prophecy through the mouth of the prophets and prophetess in America. So here, Jeremiah is not the only prophet who spoke of Christ. Isaiah was also one of the prophets who confirmed that Christ would come. So here I want to read here, this Jeremiah, the 31st chapter and the 31st verse. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. 32nd verse, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break. So when a man break a covenant, I'm reminded of husband and wife, partners. When a man and a woman decide that they're going to get married, they're making a covenant. They're making a promise to one another. So that promise is not to be broken. That promise is to be kept by the individual, the partners that is joining in that promise. However, Israel had broken the covenant, meaning that they removed themselves from all the work of prophecy. They removed themselves from the work that Moses had laid down for them. That was there. Moses were there governing and building a government for Israel. Moses was the one that gave all the food laws. We don't live under the old covenant anymore. We live under the new covenant. We live under the new covenant, which is the covenant, which is the new promise. So here our Heavenly Father is speaking a word to Jeremiah's heart. This is part of the characteristics for Israel first, then all whom the Lord have chosen to be a part of the work of the gospel. This is the 31st verse of the, this is the 31st chapter and the 31st verse of Jeremiah. Jeremiah was one of the prophets whom also believed in the work of holiness and in the life of holiness. 31st verse, behold, the days come, saith the Lord. The Lord, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant. So here our Heavenly Father is making a new covenant. He still wants Israel to live. Although Israel had broken his promises, they had stopped performing any of the work that the prophet Moses had laid down before them. They had stopped all of that work. They were no longer engaging their heart and mind in any of that work. So they left the Lord. So I'm reminded of husband and wife. If one decides to abandon the promise, that's breaking the covenant. That's breaking up the marriage. I want to read this once again. 31st verse of the 31st chapter of Jeremiah. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. So our Heavenly Father have decided once again to give Israel a new, Israel and Judah, a new opportunity to connect to a new promise. 32nd verse, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. So when we're listening to prophecy, and we know it is from Jesus Christ's mouth, heart to heart, to our heart, then we are expected to comply and to also receive that word in our ears and also to put that word in action. So our Heavenly Father loves Israel. Our Heavenly Father loves Israel. So here, Jeremiah is speaking on behalf of work that Jesus Christ is to perform, which is the new covenant which will be established on behalf of his body, on behalf of the body of Jesus Christ. 33rd verse. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So the Lord is here establishing a new covenant, a new promise. A covenant is defined as an agreement between two people. So now our Heavenly Father is giving Israel an opportunity to agree with him once again for a new life. So when the Lord is speaking here on behalf of their fathers, he's talking about those who were in bondage in Egypt land. That was the first covenant. That's the covenant that the Lord laid down with the work of Moses. That was under the Pentateuch. So here the writer is explaining about the characteristics of the covenant and the people and where they were located. They were located in Egypt and they were in bitter bondage. And our Heavenly Father stood in Moses' stead and forced his word to come to pass in Egypt under the government of the Egyptians. That's Pharaoh. So that's not the covenant that is there for us. So here, Jeremiah is bringing forth a word on behalf of a new promise, a new agreement for Israel first. But this is the 33rd verse. I'm going to read all over again over the 32nd verse. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband. So this husband office here is not speaking on behalf of a man and a woman that have pleasure together in the bedroom. He's talking about a husband that is above a man and a woman going in a bedroom and going to the altar and getting married. He's talking about a covenant that he laid down with the prophet, and he's talking about that agreement because they did obey Moses and all of his prophecies, and somewhere in the midst of their walk in the faith, they changed it. They left the Lord. They left their husband. They divorced their husband. So here our Heavenly Father is giving Israel a second chance. Excuse me for that pause. So here, our Heavenly Father is establishing a new agreement with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. So he's giving them an agreement, so he's doing it in writing. So this is a new promise. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. So this is the new agreement. 34th verse. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and I will remember their sin no more. So now we're going to go over here to the book of Hebrews, and we are going to prove this prophecy. All prophecy is confirmation. All prophecy is confirmation. Confirmation by whom? By Jesus Christ, the Holy One. That's how we know when Jesus Christ has spoken a word. So here, over here, in the 8th chapter of Hebrews, here is the confirmation. 7th verse, 4. For if the first covenant had been faultless, then should no place have been sought for the second. 8th verse, but finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come. Now, this is word for word confirming what Jeremiah just prophesied. But finding fault with them, he said, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. ninth verse, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant. So they broke that first agreement. They left. They divorced their husband. That's what he was to them then. Now we have another person over here, which is Jesus Christ, which is our Savior. And I regarded them not, saith the Lord. 10th verse, but this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So now the Lord made a different kind of covenant. Before, he gave them a choice, and he gave them an option to keep his word when the works was performed before them, and when they was given command by the prophet Moses. So now this is different, because now the word of God is in our heart. So when someone is prophesying to me, if they are a leader and if they are in prophecy and Jesus Christ is speaking to their heart, then that word is already imprinted in my heart, because the Lord chose that method. So the children of Israel and the house of Judah would not stray, so that they wouldn't leave, and so that they would not have a reason to break away from the covenant. Numbers, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. 13th verse. And that he saith a new covenant. These are new words. This time, this covenant is have words, whereas our Heavenly Father, have imprinted his word on the heart of all whom he have chosen. And that is Israel first and the house of Judah next, and all of those of us whom Jesus Christ have chosen for the life of holiness. And that he said, a new covenant he has made the first old. Now that which decayeth and waxeth old is already banished away. So we don't live by the work under the Pentateuch. But the work is good over there, because that work was good for the time and the season and the purpose that it was performed. So that work is still good, but we don't live over there. Now, many is teaching in America that they're taking the people back over to the Pentateuch work. Many individuals in America is following leaders who put up policies according to the work that Moses taught. So that's not to say that the work was not good at the time that the work was performed, because all of the old prophets, all of the old politicians for prophecy, the chosen of our Heavenly Father, did honor Moses' work. Jesus Christ also honored the work of Moses. But we don't live by those prophecies anymore. Now we have a new covenant. 13 verse, and that he said, a new covenant he had made the first old. Now that which decays and wax old is ready to vanish away. But you still have ministers that put a burden on people and command them to live by the work that Moses performed, and that work is good for that time and for that reason, because our Heavenly Father spoke that word to Moses' heart, and he laid the work down according to his judgments through Moses. But we don't live by any of that work anymore. Now we're under the new covenant, that is the four gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all 23 books of the apostolic work that sits right beside the gospel. All that work is produced by Jesus Christ on behalf of the work of holiness. So now we have a brand new way. We have a brand new covenant. So I also want to talk about the power gifts. We have promise when the right leaders is before us. When the right leaders is before us, we have promise when we obey those who are in leadership for prophecy. So I want to run over here to the book of Romans in the 10th chapter. How can we hear without the preacher? How can we hear those whom our Heavenly Father, how can we hear prophecy without those whom the Lord have called to do the work? This Romans, the 10th chapter, I want to run over here. So here we have a new way. So here, the 10th chapter and the 13th verse. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So now we have an open, we have an open border to receive the work of Christ. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. 14th verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That means that we need those whom the Lord have called for the work of holiness through his word for prophecy. We need that person to be there on behalf of extending the word of God to the heart of the people. 15 verse, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So how can they give a word of prophecy except our Heavenly Father have qualified these men and have installed them for the work of the gospel? I'm going to read that all over again. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So here we have a brand new way. We have a way out. Those of us whom the Lord have chosen. So I want to talk a little bit, but I want to run over to Isaiah the 8th chapter. So I want to talk about the witch, because the witch have circulated from other nations over to America and is here to destroy. So I want to run over here to Isaiah the 8th chapter and the 19th verse. We need to talk about these kinds of people because they are here to destroy, and they are deceivers. This is the 19th verse. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God for the living to the dead? So here Isaiah is encouraging the church not to turn to those who operate in these levels of spirits. So when we need counsel, we don't go, we don't search out the flesh for counsel. We don't turn to the tarot card reader. We don't turn to the witch. We don't turn to those whom counsel by the American card reader, the psychic reader. That's one of the worst ones, because the psychic have a psychic hotline in which they are giving out counsel. From who? From the devil. But the psychic disguises themselves as the bishops. They disguise themselves as pastors, because they could do it in America. You know why? Because America have a system called religion, and it is absolutely legal. Plus, we don't turn to the spiritual chat reader. That's the one that operates in the familiars, the familiar spirits. We don't turn to the wizards. That's the one, that's the reader. We don't turn to the crystal ball reader, because there's no scripture in the Holy Bible to support their claim as counsel. They are not holy counsels, but the psychic reader poses as a holy counselor, and many of them do. So we need to know who that is. So we don't take any of their lead. The psychic is the one that burns the black candle. The black candle is burned to send out the spirit of oppression. That's the oppressor. That's the one that drives an individual into a place called destruction of will and mind. That's the one that destroys. That's also the one that believes in sending out the beasts. That's the voodoo worker. So we need to know all these names, so that when one want to work, we can understand their spirit and their intent. These men and women are dead in sin. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So if a man is not developed in the word of God for living, then that man or that woman is not fit for ministry. So there's no holy scriptures to support that work for the tarot card reader, the witch, the American card reader, the psychic reader, the chat reader, the crystal ball reader. There's no holy scripture nowhere in the Bible to support them as prophets and prophetess, and that's what they're standing for under religion. And they can do it because it is perfectly legal for them to work. So here I'm going to So I want to run through a few words, just a few words. I like the word edify because the word edify is when the minister is building up the faith. Faith come by hearing and hearing the word of God. So we want to know who is giving us a word so that we will get the right idea on behalf of where that word is coming from. And why that word is, and why that person want to speak a word to us. So first of all, I want to give a definition of the word sin. The word sin is a noun. And that word is also defined as transgression. Transgression is defined as when one perform work against the laws of faith and of Christ. And also of one another. Grace is a noun, G-R-A-C-E. That word is a noun. And that word is defined as approval because our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ approves of us. And also that word is also defined as favor and privilege. So we are the privileged ones. Those of us who is developed in his word and those of us who allow ourselves to receive of his word. So the word grace is also defined as pardon. That means that we have been pardoned of our sins and forgiven. The next word for grace is forgiven. There's another holy word. I don't have time to give them all out, but there's another holy word here, which is prudence, which is defined as the ability to govern and discipline oneself by the use of reason. So we are the ones who have, we work by reason. So the fact that we work by reason, we have no reason to stray from the word of God and from the life of Christ. But if we don't understand then we can error, not necessarily stray. There's another word I want, that's another holy word here I want to give out, and which is redemption. Redemption, the word redemption is a noun. The word redemption is defined as Christ who paid a ransom price for someone that has been lost. Therefore, by purchasing that soul back by the blood of Christ, the Redeemer. So Christ is our Redeemer. So when I say Redeemer, that means that he was the one that gave his life that we could receive the life of holiness. Okay. So now here, I want to talk about giving. Because it is important for us to understand the process of government power. So we are here on the earth, so we are to receive in the ministry when we work of money. With those who follow prophecy and follow the word of God on behalf of producing money in the ministry. So So let's run over here to Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse. I've always given into ministry. I've always assisted pastors in the ministry. So this is the 3rd chapter of Proverbs in the 9th through the 10th verse. So this work here was performed by Solomon, David's son. This is his wisdom. So here he's teaching and leading and guiding here on behalf of giving. So the 9th verse. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Honor the Lord with thy substance. So I'm reminded of my substance when I go to work. If I go to work and I work 5 days a week, or if I want to work 1 day a week, then that's my substance. I start work on at 1 day, and then after that 1 day, if I'm only going to work 8 hours, at the end of that 8 hours, then I'm expecting what? A paycheck. That's my substance. So the writer also gave directions on behalf of the knowledge of what part, 9th verse of the 3rd chapter of Proverbs. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So everything that I earn and all that I have increased during the period of my work or my labor, this is what the commandment is about. What I have produced. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty. So if I work 5 days a week, then from Monday to Friday, or whichever days I decided would be five, if I work those days at the end of that 5th day, I'm expected to receive what substance? A paycheck. So many cannot afford to give the same way the others give. So many can afford to give a dollar out of their budget because they have bills, but make sure it's the first part before you touch it. That's the first part. And many can give $10, and many can give $5. It depends on one's budget. So this is the expectation after you perform this giving, after you perform this duty for giving. 10th verse, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So now here the writer is giving us a mystery word, whereas we are to expect to grow and to increase. To increase. So we are expected to increase. How? In a place called heaven. 10th verse. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out. So barns, that's a place in heaven. That is a place in our heavenly Father's heavenly government. This is where all of our substance will be stored. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, meaning that the person, that does not mean you're not going to get a tangible results. You are going to get a tangible results if the Lord honors that work and that word that I'm working with. That's how you know when you begin to grow, and that person is supposed to have plenty. plenty, meaning everything that they need, everything their household need, it is there. Every all the money in the bank is growing. Everything about the home is in complete order. Your children is growing if you have children. Everything about your life is growing. Why? Because you followed this word. So shall thy barns be filled. If the Lord gave it to me. Now I am working with this word, and I do believe that the Lord is honoring this word. So if the Lord is honoring this word, then when you work with it, then you should get a tangible meaning of physical results. A physical result. Not just the money only, but also peace, and you should have plenty of everything. All that you need over and above, you should have the overflow. Where is it stored? It's stored in a barn in heaven. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So I'm getting ready to close here. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And love thy neighbor, and love yourself, and love your neighbor as yourself.